Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 12th chapter of Matthew. And we're going to look at some things that our Lord, the confrontations that he had with the Jews, and then his public ministry. And when you think about it, if the Jews had known, and this can be said of the church age just as well, but if that the Jews had known the Old Testament scriptures, they would have known who Jesus was. But they were so steeped in tradition and in a counterfeit sense of self-righteousness, trying to establish their own righteousness, that they didn't want the Lord. They didn't, in their mind, they didn't need the Lord. They were in and of themselves, quote-unquote, holy. Yeah. Now, the scripture is very clear. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and what? Sinneth not. How many righteous people are there? No. There's none righteous, not even one, or no, not one. And so, as we begin this 12th chapter of Matthew, well, let's see. Do I want to back up a little bit? Let's back up to verse 20. And of the 11th chapter. Then Jesus began to upbraid the cities when most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now, our word repent doesn't really carry the idea that the Greek word repent, or that is translated repent, carries. Repent really means a change of mind. Now, we think of it as being sorry and this and that and making restitution and all of that type of thing. But it just means a change of mind. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they did not change their mind about Jesus Christ. The religious leaders thought that Jesus was a counterfeit, that he was a false prophet. And no matter what he did, people think, well, if I could see the miracles Jesus did. No, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. If the Spirit of God does not quicken the Word of God to your mind and give you the faith to believe, you have no more capacity to live a life well-pleasing unto God than the Jews had. Why? Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, no one likes to talk about their sin nature, but sometimes we have to talk about things that remind us that, indeed, we may not run to the same excess of riot that we formerly did before we were saved. But given the right set of circumstances, we can still run. And if we should say that we have no sin, that's written about believers. If we should say that we have no sin, the truth's not in us. We have this earthly treasure, or we have this treasure of eternal life and salvation in Jesus Christ. We have it in an earthen vessel. And so the earthen vessel is saddled with a sin nature that we got from Adam. And we won't get rid of that sin nature. Even though we're saved, we still have a sin nature. And we won't get rid of it until we're raised, glorified, and adopted. I can remember Marty and I, when Stan had the stroke, and then they airlifted him to a hospital in Corvallis. And Marty and I went there to see Marilyn, and the girls were there, of course, and to see Stan. And when I saw the condition, his whole, I can't remember now whether it was his left side or his right side, that was paralyzed. And so when I took hold of his hand and was going to have a word of prayer with him, and I told Stan, I said, Stan, I'm going to pray for you that the Lord will take you as quickly as possible. Yeah. Well, that was on Saturday, and the Lord took him into his presence on Wednesday, the very next Wednesday. But there was quite a strange reaction. I didn't get a reaction from Marilyn or the girls, but I did get a reaction from one of the son-in-laws. And he was just plain angry. Yeah. And, of course, he professed to be a believer in Jesus Christ. I have my doubts. Yeah. And, you know, none of us can make that call, really. But there are some certain things that manifest themselves. And one of the clear manifestations of the difference between a saved person and an unsaved person is that an unsaved person will generally try to make you think they're better than they are. You know, especially if they learn that you're a preacher. Okay? I mean, that's just human nature. But the scripture is so clear. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And then the scripture says of us who are Christians, if we should say that we, as Christians, have no sin, we deceive ourselves and what? The truth's not in us. Okay. So the Jews were all steeped in the concept ever since they, at Sinai, had said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. When that law was given, they should have said, all that the Lord has spoken, we're incapable of doing. If you look at the history with the judgment of the 10 false gods in Egypt, and the last was the firstborn. And with each of those judgments, they'll stop. They take this away. We'll be better. We'll treat you better. This and that. You'll be able to go 3 days into the wilderness, but leave your children behind. Leave your flocks behind. You know, all kinds of compromises. And the world is always trying to get us as believers in Jesus Christ to compromise. You know, what was the sacrificial system about? The sacrificial system was about a portrayal of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Why do we need a sacrifice? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission or payment for sin. But you can't just shed any blood, and the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer could never take away sin. But the sacrificial system with, you know, all kinds of, there were sacrifices virtually every day of the week. But none of those sacrifices could take away sin. And along with the giving of the law, there was, of course, the sacrificial system, and the sacrificial system and the tabernacle. What did the tabernacle represent? It represented Jesus Christ. Yeah. God dwelling with man. And then the holiest of holies is the very presence of God. And when Jesus was on the cross, God caused that veil in the temple to be ripped from the top to the bottom. But you know what the Jews did? They sewed it back together. God had shown them, you know, this is the end of the law. It's been fulfilled. My son paid for your sins. You know, there's no more animal sacrifices to be offered. Well, the Jews continued on in that until we finally had the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And then, of course, they had no place. You know, when we learn about the synagogue system, the synagogues could never make sacrifices because the only place that they could make sacrifices had to be in the temple in Jerusalem. Right. And so the synagogue system then moderated the Jews' sinking So modern day Jew thinks that his prayers take away his sins.
Yeah.
And of course, the Jews as a whole are still caught up very much in their own self-righteousness. The truth of the matter is, most of the churches under the canopy of Christianity are no different than the Jews. They, too, are trying to establish their own righteousness before God. But if we think about it, you know, can you control your dreams? Can you control your thoughts? You know, do things pop into your mind that you wonder, where in the world did that ever come from? Well, if you're a human being, I guarantee it has. You know? So that being the case, how are we going to live to the standard of a holy and righteous God in whom is no sin at all? Absolutely impossible. Therefore, Jesus came to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. He had to be born of a virgin in order to do that. A lot of people don't know, and I've mentioned it numerous times lately, but there's not one drop of a mother's blood that is ever mixed with the infant in her womb with its blood. God made us that way so that our blood type, our blood comes because of the genes and, you know, in the birth process. All of it comes from our father. Not one drop comes from our mother. And if during the pregnancy, if some for some reason or other, the blood streams were to be mixed, it almost instantly causes a natural abortion, which is a miscarriage. Yeah. Okay. And the mother will lose the child. So that's, God designed us that way. Why? Well, he created Adam, and then Adam was without a mate, and then God created Eve because man didn't have a mate, and he took her from Adam's side. And people will read about that and never think about the importance of that. There is one federal head over the human family. All human beings came from one human being. God created Adam. Eve was taken from a rib from Adam's side, and so she became a woman. Thereafter, through the sexual union, a woman can become impregnated and have a child, but her bloodstream is never mixed with the child's bloodstream. And that's so that Isaiah 7:14 can be fulfilled. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name what? Emmanuel, which being interpreted, spelled two different ways in the Old Testament, New Testament, I in one place, he in the other. But Emmanuel means God with us. So who is Jesus Christ? He's God with us. God was his father. And Mary was not impregnated by a relationship with her husband Joseph. But that thing which was conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So, now, these things were not done in a vacuum. Yeah. We know that, when we read about Christmas, and of course it won't be long, we're time goes so fast, we're just a couple of months away from Santa Claus and St. Nicholas and reindeer and until Gene Autry wrote a modification of the, we used to sing about Santa and his reindeer, and then all of a sudden it was a foggy Christmas night, and Rudolph became to be known. Now nobody knows the names of any of the other reindeer, but they all know about Rudolph. He was a usurper that didn't come along until I was a kid. Well, I realize that's quite a ways ago, but anyway. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, had a very shiny nose. So foggy, he was able to take them and that's pretty good. Fog throughout the whole world, and to travel through every place in the world in just a few hours of darkness. Boy, you talk about supersonic transports. By the way, I just saw the other day they're going to start making supersonic transports again. And they'll be mostly for the transcontinental flights or transoceanic flights, I should say, but to travel from one country to another over the Pacific or over the Atlantic. And they won't reach supersonic speed until they're so far out to sea, so that we won't have sonic booms causing problems on the Earth. But it's interesting, you know, virtually all of our military aircraft of the fighter type, they're all supersonic today. You know, that's quite a technology. Anyway, let's get to where we were. So Jesus began to upbraid the cities where he preached. Why? Because he performed miracles. He quoted scripture. He made it very clear who he was. But the Jews were so wrapped up in their tradition. And sadly, this is true in the churches today. Now, what does scripture say? Scripture teaches us there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The scriptures teach us that Christ is God who was born of a virgin so that he could be both God and man, so that as God he could fulfill every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, and he's the only man that ever did. And then, as our Redeemer, he gave himself willingly as a ransom for our sin, because without what? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Now, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer could never take away sin. And that's what the Jews were involved with all through their lifetime. But then the scriptures in Isaiah promise the virgin birth of our Lord. They promise his kingdom age. They promise, you know, many, many things. The Jews just did not understand their own scriptures and couldn't differentiate between the first advent of Christ and the second advent of Christ. And now those two advents, you know, the Lord could come at any time for us. But we've already, traveled 2,000 years, basically, from the birth of Christ. We'll be another, you know, another, 11 years? So, you know, one thing that just puzzled me, are you old enough to remember when we went from, we had the year, we were in the 19th century, 1999, and at the end of 99, everybody was talking about the new millennium. No, you're a year off. The new a millennium is named for the last year, not the first year. So 2020 was the last year of the 19th century. And they pumped that stuff out over the news. Everybody's talking about the new millennium, blah, blah, blah. You're a year away. Yeah, the year 2000 was the first year of the 20th century, or the last year, I should say, because the century is named for its last year. So, you know, I thought, did any of you ever go to school? We used to learn some things. You know, but, you know, you haven't counted to 100 until you go 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you keep going and keep going 97, 98, 99, you still haven't got there. You have to get to 100. Now you've got a century. Well, with this new math, I don't, you know, I have no doubt. I'm going to brag on my little great-granddaughter. She was, they were doing the homeschooling thing. And they gave her a problem, you know, and she immediately had the answer, put her hand up, teacher called on her, and Ava had the answer. And then the teacher says, is there somebody else, or is there anybody else that can do it another way?
It was a common core division problem.
Yeah, a common core division? Yeah. Okay. So, Ava did it instantly. Yeah. And then a half hour later, no one has yet been able to do it another way. This is insanity. You know, do you realize, and I didn't realize this until one of my great-grandchildren told me when he was in high school, they don't teach any history past World War II. So these kids, I mean, you see if they interview somebody on the streets of New York and they look like they might be college-age kids, and they ask them, who was the first president of the United States? And they say, was it, I don't know, was it Lincoln?
Yeah, that's typically the answer.
Or they never get George Washington.
Yeah. Well, eventually somebody gets
you know, he is crazy. He is absolutely crazy. We've been dumbing down America. And that's why, quote unquote, we had a landslide election. Even though we saw them on video bringing out ballots after they were supposed to be through counting ballots for the day, and Trump, who was ahead at midnight, by morning had lost. They weren't supposed to be counting during that period of time. Yeah. And they actually had video evidence of them bringing out counterfeit ballots. And if you don't think that COVID wasn't a great big part of stealing that election, it was.
Yes, you are racist.
You know? I mean, we get the government giving you a little bit of money. Oh, why am I getting some money? Yeah, you know, I didn't need the money that they gave me. And I don't make a lot of money. You know? But, you know, it's crazy. Well, let's get back into this. You're rambling, Dale. So it says, then began he in verse 20 to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they didn't change their mind. Now, no one, no prophet, no one had ever done the things that Jesus did. Yeah. They showed clearly that he was God incarnate. Did they believe in his virgin birth? No, but the shepherds, you know, had angels come to them and led them to Bethlehem, you know. And then we've got the, what do they call it? Is it a creche figure or something for the Magi and all that type of thing? You know, and they've got the wise men from Babylon. They've got them there at the same time as the shepherds. But if you read in Matthew, when the Magi arrived, they didn't go to a manger. They went into the house, you know. And it's about 2 years later, and then they warn, you know, Joseph and Mary are warned to flee into Egypt because the Herods were going to try to kill him, you know. So he fled in. Well, you can't travel that kind of distance with an infant. No. It was 2 years later. And it says very clearly in our translation of the Greek and in the Greek, the young child He's not called a babe in Matthew. He's a young child in Matthew. No. But somebody somewhere along the line, and I used to know his name, but I've forgotten it. Not very important. But he said, Jesus was born on December 25th. No evidence in Scripture, no quoting the Scripture, nothing. But somebody just came along way back and said that he was born on the 25th of December. Now, if we read the evidence, shepherds don't watch their flock in the middle of winter. They put them in a sheepfold. They watch their flock when the lambs are dropping the ewes, or the ewes are dropping the lambs. I'll get it better. I'm getting old and crazy. when the ewes are dropping their lambs. Why? Because if they drop their lambs in a sheepfold, chances are they would be trampled to death before they could get to their feet. So the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. When do they do that? When lambs are born in the spring. Yeah. So we have all this tradition. And then we have a tradition about Easter, too. You know? And they say that Jesus made his triumphal entry on Sunday. Well, if you go back, and if he was crucified on Friday, he couldn't have made it on Sunday. It would have to be on Monday. Yeah. Palm or Good Friday demands Palm Monday. All you have to do is count the days. But Jesus, 6 days before Passover. Well, in the first place, most people don't know that the Jews began and end their evening. You know, they may have seen it in a movie somewhere, but it never registered. They began and end their day at sunset. You know. And so Jesus arrived in Bethany after traveling from Ephraim and from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany 6 days before Passover. And if the next day was Palm Sunday, he violated the Sabbath because the distance just from Bethany to Jerusalem, read Acts chapter 1, is a Sabbath day's journey. So much of our tradition under the canopy of Christianity is as faulty as the Jewish tradition. The things that Jesus is pointing out to them. He says, if the mighty works which were done in Bethsaida, woe unto you, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, in verse 21, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, and both Tyre and Sidon were judged, they would have done what? Changed their mind, repented, long ago, in sackcloth and ashes. Yeah. Jews that were supposed to be godly Jews didn't know their own word of God. And that's a sad part of what goes on in the world today under the canopy of Christianity. Christianity has become all about the life that you live. Now, I don't mind people, you know, doing nice things, trying to live a clean life. But you can't live a life that would make you accepted of God. If you could, Jesus died in vain. Think about it. Christ had to be born of a woman so he could be related to us. And born of a woman, he was related to us, but he was not contaminated by Adam's sin, which that sin is translated from the blood from generation to generation to generation. So we're born dead in trespasses and in sin. So now, if that's our birth condition, how in the world can we keep the law? But everybody teaches, well, you can't do it till you're saved, but now that you're saved, you can do it. I don't think so. I'm 90 years old. I've been a believer ever since I was 21 and a half years old. And I've never kept the law yet. So that doesn't mean I'm going out and blowing away people on the streets or anything of the sort. But if we should say that we have no sin, what? We deceive ourselves. And so we see the churches today steeped in their own self-righteousness as much as Israel was steeped in its own self-righteousness. I have no problem with good behavior, but by your behavior, you can't have a right relationship with God, and you certainly can't fulfill the law. And if you think you can, I'm not going to take the time to read the 20th chapter of Exodus, but you take time to read it, and if you can read it without being convicted with the interpretation that our Lord put upon it, not what the Jews put upon it, I guarantee you, you can't read the law without it condemning you. That's who we are. We're sinners saved how?
By grace.
That's the important thing. So, studying Matthew, that's our Lord's public ministry. Was it to the church? No. Jesus didn't teach the church. Jesus taught the Jews. The church was established on the day of Pentecost. Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with the Holy Spirit. You know. So they had to wait until the Holy Spirit, who couldn't be given in time past, because why? Christ had not yet died. Now he's died, was buried, rose from the dead, then 40, or after he ascended into heaven on the day of Pentecost, so it's 10 days later, the Spirit of God was given. And the Spirit of God just enabled the gospel, the matter of speaking in tongues. You read that those chapters in Acts, and you see that it broke down the language barrier. We had people in Jerusalem from every nation in the world, and they could hear the Word of God in what? Their own language wherein they were born. Now, that gift ended, when the people that had it died. And in this age, we have spiritual gifts, but we don't have any of the sign gifts. All of the sign gifts, because the Jews require a sign. What happened in 70 A.D.? Israel was destroyed as a nation and didn't become a nation again until May 14th, 1948. So all, most of the history from the time of our Lord till now, when Israel became a nation again in 48, and the Arabs are shelling her day after day after day. She's never known peace as a nation. Why? Because Esau thinks he ought to have the inheritance rather than Jacob. But God promised it to Jacob. They're brothers. I read about them, I like Esau better. Most people do. He seems, he's a hunter, man's man, a little bit on the hungry side. Oh, feed me lest I die. He kind of overstated things just a little bit. But I say unto you, in verse 22, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which were done, which have been done in thee, had been done where? In Sodom. Now, everybody today is trying to make, we used to call it sodomy. And I don't want to describe the practice. But it's okay to have, for men to be, have men partners and women to have women partners and to jump the lines and have a woman can not only have a woman partner, but also a male partner. You know, that make any difference. You can do anything you want, but we're good people. We can satisfy God with the life that we live. I don't think so. You know, I don't care what people do. You know, I've got enough problem saying grace over my own sins. But it took the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse me from my sin. I certainly couldn't be accepted because of my behavior, and neither can you. Yeah. And thou Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee would have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Do you realize that the two daughters of Lot were both married? A lot of people don't know that. They were married, and their husbands chose to stay in Sodom. Yeah. All they were... They didn't have a marriage relationship with their husbands. They would go have their sexual unions with men. All they wanted a woman for was to cook the dinner and clean the house. You know, and so God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom, verse 24, in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Who's he talking about? The men that were the priests and members of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, the big mucky bucks in Israel. They didn't know anything about these things, and they're all prophesied in the Old Testament. And they should have known them, but they were ignorant of them. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And notice what this says. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. You know, people, I worship God. You know. And of course, one of our brilliant statesmen, who later became a president, Thomas Jefferson, he didn't believe in the Trinity. And he said, talking about, I've got to remember the individual that the Presbyterian Church was persecuting.
Euclid.
I know about Euclid. Servetus. Servetus was put to death.
Okay.
Servetus was put to death by the Presbyterian Church. And what Thomas Jefferson said, he couldn't find in his Euclid. Who's the father of mathematics? Euclid. Who gave us all the stuff about geometry? Euclid. I always figured this was strange, because I figured Thomas Jefferson, one great big step smarter than I am. But he said he couldn't find in his Euclid, or in the study of geometry, how three could be one and one could be three. I guess he never looked at an isosceles triangle. Three sides all equal. Three angles all equal. You know. How many triangles? Just one. Three and one. One and three. And Jefferson, there was what they used to call it. I can't make it. Anyway.
Unitarian.
Yeah. Unitarian. Unitarians do not believe in the Trinity. Jesus to the Unitarians is only a man. Yeah. And there are a lot of people in the canopy of Christianity like that that don't recognize the deity of Jesus Christ. But if you want to get the deity of Jesus Christ straight, look at John 1:1. I memorized this in Greek when I was studying Greek. But in English, it says, in the beginning, in archaic, was the word, in archaic, kai halagos. And the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning, with God. Notice what it says. All things were made by him. By whom? The Word who was made God. The Word who is God and who took a human body so that he could come to this world. Jesus Christ is God. People think it's strange when we talk about triune God. And I've emphasized this in several of the messages here lately. If you're a saved person, you're a triune being. All I can see is your bodies. I can't tell what you're thinking by looking at your faces. Yeah. You're going to have to communicate that to me. Why? Because your thoughts are in the realm of spirit or soul. Yeah. So we are a triune being with a body, a soul, and a spirit. The unsaved man is just a two-part being. He's got a body and a soul. Because the spirit died when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he hasn't been regenerated in that individual or made alive again unless he's received the gospel by the work of the Holy Spirit. So, back to our text here. But I say unto you, verse 24, that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. God did so many things in Chorazim, in Bethsaida, in Capernaum, and so forth, that the Jews should have known without any question whatsoever. But faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So he says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. He's talking about the religious leaders in Israel who, you know, when he spoke to Nicodemus. If you read the third chapter of John in Greek, Nicodemus was the lead teacher in Israel. He was the highest of all of the rabbis and all the teachers in Israel. Nicodemus was at the top. Art thou the teacher in Israel? Definite article is there. They didn't see any way of saying it, because that sounds funny. Are you the teacher in Israel? No. Okay. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal them. Are you born again, Christian? This had to happen in your life. God had to reveal to you who Jesus Christ is. Yeah. And studying the ministry of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Spirit of God gave us the Word of God. And by studying it, then we know, you know, that God is a triune God. I'm a triune being. It's not strange. See? You see my physical aspect. I see your physical aspect. With my preaching, you get a little understanding of my spiritual cognizance. Yeah. And then when I try to be cute, you realize how dumb I really am. Okay. So what does he say to these Jews? You know, they followed him. They wanted to be fed by him. They wanted to see the miracles that he did. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know, the day that you came to Jesus Christ, you came as a babe, and you had to grow. But as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have to grow in grace. because everything in our relationship with God is predicated of grace, unmerited favor. We don't deserve to be saved. We deserve to go to hell. You know, is the world so much worse than we are that we have heaven and they don't? No. It all depends on God's elective choice. And God has the right to choose whom he will. No. All I can say is, I sure am glad he chose me at a point in time. No. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? Is easy. As from the day of your salvation, has the Lord ever really demanded much of you? I've been preaching for 67 years, and it's just like with that fast. And it was never burdensome to do it. No. It was always a joy to study the Word of God, get into the Word of God, see things that other people hadn't seen. I'm not saying that because of me. It's the Spirit of God that reveals truth. And when I read in the book of Romans, from the 5th chapter and the 12th verse through the 8th chapter and the 3rd verse, the use of the definite article before sin in the singular 30 times, and the translators didn't translate it once. And then I read articles over, well, you don't need to translate that. No. What does the definite article denote in English? Specificity. It's hard to say. It's a specific sin. What was the specific sin that caused us to be dead in trespasses and sin? Adam's. Yeah. So in Adam, what? All died. And in Christ, what? All who are in Christ are made alive. Well, I sure didn't get where I wanted to today. I lie a little bit every now and then. But I don't think, I'm not a bit sorry. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love to us. And we know that I backed up that far because you had something for us that I hadn't really touched on before. And I praise you and thank you for that. We know you know what we need. I don't. You know what those people who hear our messages online need, and I don't. You know those that may hear through some other medium, and I don't. But you do. And we just praise you and thank you that we learn line upon line, here a little and there a little. And faith comes by what? By hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. We just praise you and thank you for your grace. Thank you for this message this morning. Pray that you'll bless each one. And as the Cates travel back to Washington, we pray that you'll keep them safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Precept.